I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, your daily dose of facts, not fake, principle, not political party agenda, where we are always liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. I am so happy to be here with you on this beautiful Monday as we begin a new week of the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. Welcome to the show. We've had a big weekend, haven't we?
Seems like it.
Just a crazy day. My microphone is giving me a fit here, so I'm trying to fix this. You know, sometimes people like to be able to say, I told you so.
Sometimes?
Sometimes people don't like to be able to say that. Mm-hmm. I don't like it because I don't like being right about bad things. And that's unfortunately what's happened here. Everybody listening to the show, you remember the Colorado cake baker who was targeted by the local government, the city council, for his refusal to bake a cake for a gay wedding.
Right.
And he took it all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. His name is Jack Phillips, and he's the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop. And when the Supreme Court issued their opinion in this case, there was a lot of talk about this.
There was a lot of chatter. Celebration.
A lot, yeah, there you go. That's probably even better. A lot of celebration. People were talking about, oh, this is a victory for religious liberty. This is a victory for religious freedom.
And then you read the opinion.
And then I read the opinion and found out that it was not about religious liberty at all.
Yeah, they didn't rule on religious liberty.
No, they didn't make any decision on religious liberty at all. They were talking about the local government unjustly discriminating against him. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the article that I wrote called Supreme Court and Baking Cakes, Not About Religious Liberty, I show where the court actually said that the city council would have been justified to prosecute, to penalize Mr. Phillips for his actions if they had not, if they had held the same other bakers under the same standards. Mm-hmm. So what had happened was
they basically said, yeah, you can discriminate based on religion as long as you do it to everybody.
As long as you do it to everybody.
That's basically what the Supreme Court said.
Right. Here it says on page 9 of the Supreme Court opinion, it says, it is the general rule that religious and philosophical objections do not allow business owners and other actors in the economy and in society to deny protected persons equal access to goods and public services under a neutral and generally applicable public accommodations law. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing was, at the time of this case, gay people were not considered a protected class in Colorado.
Yeah.
But now they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Supreme Court said. Colorado law can protect gay persons just as it can protect other classes of individuals in acquiring whatever products and services they choose on the same terms and conditions as are offered to other members of the public. So this is the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. Right? So this was not a pro-religious choice, pro-conscience opinion issued by the Supreme Court.
But it was being characterized that way by a lot of
prominent
people who should know better.
Should know better, right? It was very narrowly tailored in their opinions. They actually, in my humble opinion, they actually gave Colorado instruction.
Yeah, which that's the thing that jumps out at me is what you said last time. If they read the opinion, if they look at what they said, then this actually gives them grounds to sort of recraft what they're doing and go at Mr. Phillips again, actually, you know, better prepared to better target him because of this Supreme Court opinion.
Right.
That's what you said then. Mm-hmm. And then that's when some of the conservatives that I guess reacted to you and flipping out and you're wrong and you're missing and whatever, and this is a religious liberty thing and this is a great victory.
Yeah, the biggest thing was, why are you trying to deny us our joy? We finally get something going our way. And
so now apparently what you said was going to happen happened.
It did. It exactly happened. So now, once again, shock and awe, he is targeted. You would wonder if Mr. Phillips is the only cake baker in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
Right? Is he the only guy that makes cakes there? Because here we now have a lawsuit where Mr. Phillips has brought a lawsuit against the government because he has refused to bake a cake for a transgender birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
So the transgendered person comes up to him and says, hey, I'm transgendered. I want a cake with a blue exterior and a pink interior to mark my birthday and the 7th anniversary of my gender transition. And he says, no, I can't do that because that runs contrary to my belief that gender is given by God and not determined by perceptions or feelings. Well, the government comes at him, right? Because they've had this instruction by the Supreme Court now. They know exactly what to do. Homosexuality is now a protected class in Colorado. So he files a lawsuit against the government for fining him for not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, what's that saying that we always say about law?
Bad facts make bad law.
Bad facts make bad law.
But then he also had a whole string of all these people turning out. We were reading the other article, mm-hmm. and all these people coming, and he was being targeted, and so he's not being protected. This gave it, that Supreme Court opinion gave him no protection. Didn't
no
stop
protection.
This.
No, it put a big target on his back.
Right.
And so you can't claim that opinion was a victory. You can't complain that it is, or you can't claim that it created any kind of protection for conscience, because now this poor man is really, and I have to wonder, does he actually believe that he had a victory? I mean, is he now emboldened in bringing this case to court again because he thinks that the Supreme Court Supreme Court's opinion was in his favor?
Yeah, I who knows?
Well, I think that this is going to end very badly, especially when, go back and read that article that I wrote, because the opinion was 5-4 and the dissent was very strong against it. So you have Ginsburg and Sotomayor signing on the dissent. And now the whole ground for which the majority held their opinion, with the exclusion of Thomas and Gorsuch,
mm-hmm.
the majority's opinion, they went out of their way to make this not about religious conscience, to make it about something that they didn't have to decide on religious conscience. And now they're going to jam this through and force their hand. And I do not think it's going to come out the way Mr. Phillips wants it to come out.
Well, the problem you have now, Kennedy's gone.
Right.
And, so now what? The thing is sort of up in the air. You don't really know. Now it's unpredictable. It's probably not a good time. As the court is right now,
mm-hmm.
he's probably not going to get any relief.
No, and I don't think he's going to get any relief from the district court, because the district court is going to go back and read this Supreme Court opinion, and the Supreme Court, they're going to say, well, the Supreme Court opinion says that we can do this.
They sure seem to be signaling that. I mean, I don't understand how a lot of the folks read it in the opposite manner. But a plain reading to me, they sure signaled like they were not on the side of, they were not on his side.
Well, I don't know how much clearer you can get when the court says Colorado law can protect gay persons just as it can protect other classes of individuals, and then says it is the general rule that religious and philosophical objections do not allow business owners and others, actors in the economy and in society, to deny protected persons equal access. So what we have now is we have this law that creates the LGBTQ question mark as a protected class, which means now the general rule, according to the Supreme Court, is they can be, as protected people, they can be, business owners can be forced to serve them.
Well, in the first case, it was about that council. It was about that government council mm-hmm. that he was dealing with mm-hmm. and their statements.
Right.
Right. And then the fact that they weren't applying it the same to everyone.
Right. It was the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And so the Colorado Civil Rights Commission told an atheist cake baker, or I don't know, just maybe a secular case baker, we'll say atheist, but a secular cake baker, that they did not have to bake a cake and decorate it with scripture that says homosexuality is an aberration to God.
Right.
Right. And so the Colorado Civil Rights Commission said, okay, that's an objection to your conscience. You don't have to do that. But then turn around and told Mr. Phillips, your objection of based on your conscience is not warranted. You have to make this cake. Mm-hmm. So it was the fact that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had taken two very similar circumstances and made completely different decisions on them. And that's what the Supreme Court latched on.
Well, and then the court is saying essentially you can do it either way you want to mm-hmm. as long as you do it consistently. Uh-huh. So it didn't seem they picked one side that was right or wrong. So they didn't come down and say, well, this guy's for religious reasons and you can't discriminate against. Mm-hmm. They never said that.
Yeah. So I was wrong. It wasn't a 5-4, it was a 7-2, but it was very narrowly tailored to make it
to avoid religious liberty.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, to avoid the religious liberty aspect of it.
So I don't know. Are they going to be able to do that again?
No, well, no, because this is definitely now, because of the way that the law is written and the way it's protected, it's a protected class. They're going to push this issue. They're going to have to make that decision. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. I am here with my husband and co-host, JC Hall, and we are talking about Jack Phillips, the practicing Christian who is refusing to design and create baked goods based upon his religious beliefs. He's saying, I cannot bake a cake for a birthday party designed specifically for a transgendered person. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this idea that the Supreme Court's original opinion based on his refusal to bake the cake for the gay wedding is not what people have said it is. And I wonder, when will we be able to set aside these emotionally based biases and hear this, because this is the attack that I got. Mm-hmm. It was not a matter of, I'm like, look, this is not about religious liberty. Why can't we be prepared for that? That was the cry. You got to see what this is so you're prepared for what's coming. And I'm afraid that Mr. Phillips is jumping into an ocean of sharks that he thought was clear.
I don't know when he filed it. I think he filed it like right on the heels of that, or right at the same time they were hearing it or something. So I don't know. But
this is a brand new case.
Yeah,
so
if you don't, I would. It seems like a wait and see thing. Who knows what they're going to do? But if you go by what they said before, and if they're consistent to what they said in the first case, which there's no guarantee. I mean, we're dealing with the Supreme Court, so you know they're not always consistent. But if they're true to what they said in the first case, then it's hard to see it going in his favor.
Right. Well, his case says that the state's decision violates his First Amendment right to freely exercise his religious beliefs.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what the Supreme Court said.
Right.
So because his case is definitely more directly crafted, I believe that this is a case that's going to push the Supreme Court into making a decision one way or the other.
Well, you get the sense that they don't want to wade, at least as far as the ones that you can depend on, they don't want to wade too far into this because, you know, it's murky to these people, mm-hmm. right? This is not a church. This
right.
is not a worship service. This is a, you know, so they're looking at, and here's a business and this
right.
and that. And what do you mean your expression? What expression is here? The people are coming to buy something and you're making it. So what is the religious expression? So you've heard them ask these
yeah,
kind of questions. You've
yeah.
heard these discussions. So I think that they're really hesitant to get into that.
Right. Well, not only that, I think that you can make the argument that in his world, a wedding is a religious ceremony.
Right.
But I don't think you can make the argument that a birthday is a religious ceremony in the same regard.
Well, you can. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. That's the problem.
Right.
That's what they don't seem to want to get into.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and that's back to bad facts make bad law when you know, I don't know.
And the history of this is that the Colorado Civil Rights Division made their decision based on this transgender birthday cake once the Supreme Court issued their opinion. So they read the opinion and then made their decision that he was violating her rights. Because they're like, they got our checkboxes. Okay, so now Colorado has her as a protected class. And the Supreme Court says it's a protected class. The Supreme Court says that we can compel service. So, you know, I would love to see something happen in his favor. But, I think this is bad facts makes bad law. And it's going to make a situation. Let me give you something to think about as we go into this break. And we'll pick it up after the break. What if the Supreme Court says, yes, he can refuse to do this based on his religious beliefs, okay? And then you have somebody that says, well, it's against my religious beliefs to serve mixed-race couples.
Mm-hmm.
It is against my religious beliefs to be yoked unequally with certain people, right? So you have now a race or a gender, which is a protected class, same as Colorado has protected the LGBT group, and the Supreme Court says you can discriminate based on your religious beliefs even if they are a protected class. What happens then?
As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our ammunition.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find strange.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here. We are talking about this this Mr. Phillips case, where he is taking on the Colorado Civil Rights Commission again, and he's refusing to bake a cake for a transgender birthday party. And the question is, what happens if the Supreme Court says, yes, Mr. Phillips, because this is a violation of your religious beliefs, you do not have to serve this person, even though they are a member of a protected class?
But they wouldn't say that. I mean,
I can't say that.
They think it looks good.
Mm-mm.
I hate these cases because I just.
Well, first and foremost, the Supreme Court shouldn't be in on this.
Yeah.
Secondly,
it just causes problems for believers,
right,
and people of faith in the first place. This just adds to it. Because
if you were this guy, how would you be handling this?
Yeah, this is what I get flack for.
Right.
You know, I don't.
Welcome to my world. Then you can join the flack.
This as the ministry of the gospel. This is not the gospel.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're going to bake a cake just for Christians? What? I don't understand that. I don't understand the point of this. If you're in the services business, mm-hmm, right, then you're going to serve who? I mean, it's about your business, about your service. So I don't understand this, right? Because you're basically saying these people are sinners, right? Well, that's the point of the gospel. These are the people you're here to reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you weren't, it's not like Jesus said, I saved you so that you can go live in a cave and hang out with all the people that think like you do and believe like you do. And then, you know what I'm saying? How do you get other people to believe like you believe, right? He said, I will build my church, go into the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. So how do you make disciples, and how do you preach? How do you give the gospel? How do you see people be converted if your stance is, I'm going to isolate myself, not have any contact with sinners?
Jesus
have a problem.
Jesus had dinner with sinners.
Yeah, and so I know people are going to yell and make stupid comments. But so I have a problem with this idea, because I've heard this. You know, I've had these discussions. People get mad. It's really stupid to me. And you know, you're welcome to it. But this seems to have consequences for the rest of us as well. So, you know, I'll hear, well, you know, he shouldn't have to participate in this. You're not participating in anything. Are you going to the birthday party? Are you going to the wedding? Now the photographer, mm-hmm, that seems something different to me.
Right.
He's there. He's at the wedding. You're saying, take these pictures. No, I'm not going to that wedding. You know, I can understand it. I wouldn't do it that way. Okay. But I understand that more than this guy. Right.
Right.
I mean, for me, it would be hard for, based on my religious views, right, to be the photographer. I go to the camera and I go to the wedding and I'm taking pictures of this wedding. But I would do it for the sake of the gospel, right?
To have an opportunity to reach
people.
Jesus
went to that adulteress.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was there. He was right there beside her. He connected with her. He talked to her. He showed her. He put himself in the position to be able to demonstrate the gospel to her.
No,
right?
And that he defended her.
Yeah, so
in front of her accusers.
He went into ugly places, bad places, nasty places around ugly, bad, nasty people.
Praise God. Thank
so
you,
that
Jesus.
He could witness for the gospel.
So that I could be saved.
Yeah, so I wouldn't take this approach, all right? But that's not the question here. The question is not whether I agree with it, whether I would do it. This is a legal question. This is a liberty question. The question is, does he have a right to do this? That's the important question, right? I don't have to agree with this guy. I don't have to say I would do it like he would do it or not, right? Because, you know, more power to him if that's how he sees it a different way, and
right.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I see it a different way. I wouldn't do it this way. But if he has a right to take this stand, and I certainly – I believe that these other people are wrong. I don't think he should be targeted like this. See, that's a separate issue. But that's what you're dealing with the militant homosexual crowd, right? Mm-hmm. That militant sect of the homosexual movement that is out to target and destroy people like him.
So here's crazy, crazy, radical suggestion. How about we get government out of the compelling business? Why don't we just let businesses discriminate? Because they're private businesses and they should be free to serve.
They should be free to go out of business.
They should be free to serve whoever they choose. And if they choose to not serve people
because
they don't like them, then they are free to go out of business,
right?
So
that's kind of my stand, right?
Right.
I would not say I'd necessarily do it the way he did it, but if he wants a business where he services Christians, right? It's a Christian mm-hmm. community. It's their business. Like the Amish. I mean, they right. separate themselves. They do their things, you know, with each other, whatever. And they decide when they want to have contact with anybody else. So if he wants to do that, it seems to me, do it. You have a right, right. to do that. So I'm not saying he's wrong in that. I don't think he's wrong at all in that sense. I'm for me personally, I'm talking about the manner of approach and the manner you do mm-hmm. it. So that's the question, it seems to me here. You have a right to do it. I think you should have a right to do this. And then, you know, if you don't want to go to that business, first of all, I don't understand why you would want to. And
yeah,
I don't
see,
think they
was,
do want to.
Yeah.
That's why, again, this is targeting.
Mm-hmm,
so
absolutely.
There should be, it seems to me, there should be some kind of protection or something. I mean, they're deliberately trying to harm him. They're trying to do harm financially and otherwise.
Well,
he's not actually harming anybody. He's not reaching out and going anywhere to do anything. He is here, mind his own business. You have to come to him, right?
Right.
And then he decides, do I want to perform this service or not? It's just like, I mean, we've gone around, hey, you know, we need somebody to mow our yard. Can you mow my yard? No, I don't think I'm going to do that. The refusal of service, right?
Right.
So what?
Right.
Go somewhere else. So that, to me, he should have a right to conduct his business. If there are if there are negative consequences as far as, you know, he loses business, that's one thing.
The free marketplace.
But to go into his business, to target him, to have a pretense to then take some legal action and cause all these problems, that's wrong.
Well, and it's because now what we have are segments of social segments of the population using the government as a weapon to
right.
require the acceptance of who they are or their beliefs. For me personally, you know, that's the way I am. This is a free market system. And the government, it's not free when the government can compel a private business owner to serve anyone,
yeah,
period.
That's crazy.
And I'm under the impression, you know what? So you don't like short, brown-eyed women.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to serve women at all. Well, I certainly don't want you providing a service for me if you
yeah.
don't want me. I mean, especially something for me that takes inspiration and love, like a cake. You know, I used to do wedding cakes. I've done this stuff. So I don't want somebody who can't stand the thought of me doing this for me. He should have the free market choice to say, no, I will serve. We reserve the right to refuse service to anyone for any reason.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be protected classes, period. But you know where the mistake comes? People believe that the civil rights movement,
mm-hmm.
the lunch counter thing,
right.
was because private business owners were refusing service.
Yeah, those
now, that's
were laws.
True, but that was actually laws
right.
that required them. So this is not even the same thing. Well, I guess it is now in the opposite.
Yeah, right.
So the real issue is government needs to get out of this.
But that's the counter argument, you know, the racism and you know, all that sort of thing.
I think free market is going to rule over that.
Well, I think it goes back to the core, you know, leftist statist philosophy. You have a low view of humanity as part of that philosophy. So I think, you know, even during the civil rights movement, not all white people were on board with that. You know, so then you had many on the side of the minority. So, you know, I think you can make a force. You can have a social force to be able to bring about change without having to use the law in this way.
But these groups have already proven this to be so. Look at all the boycotting that has taken place
yeah.
and the changing of laws and philosophies based on this massive social movement of boycotting that they have that certain groups have used. I mean, they defeat the argument that the government is necessary because they have actually been victors in the free market control system through this.
Yeah.
And that's the way it needs to happen. It needs to happen. This is statism.
Well,
this
I think you
can't.
This
is government control. This is not, I mean, this is almost fascism in a sense.
You have to have a core of, you know, the morality of respect, in your ideology.
Morality.
For that
shame
to happen.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame on
well,
you. We're going to put you in a cage with Rahm Emanuel
right.
for claiming that America needs morality.
Yeah, but that's the problem here. Is this not, so it's not a moral approach. You know, so I feel I've been wronged. The left responds like, okay, you have morally wronged me. And so they respond to that with an immoral response. Right.
Right.
That's part of their ideology. So they become an evil doer to fight evil doers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you can't respectfully sort of build a social apparatus to bring pressure. They take up, you know, the concept of harm. We have to hurt that person. So, you know, just typical philosophy. I mean, I lean more toward the Gandhi and, you know, civil disobedience and noncompliance and that sort of thing, in the sense of, you know, we're not going to participate. But I don't think the approach is right for these folks that want not to be discriminated against.
Well, not only that, it's their go-to decision. The problem is not morality. It's not a lack of morality. It's a lack of government.
Yeah.
Well, so their solution to everything is more government.
But you also have to recognize their anti-religion as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's part of the targeting.
Yeah, so that's what you had posted this on your Instagram page about Rahm Emanuel. Tell us what they told Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, everybody knows all the shootings and stuff. They were shooting and stabbing and setting people on fire and all that. And I guess he made a comment. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he was talking about, he said, I know this is not PC, but at some point we have to address this topic of morality. And he said, I know how much faith and family and morality, you know, how powerful that can be. And so people were really upset that he brought up morality, you know, and yeah, we're not immoral. This isn't happening here because we're immoral. And the whole argument was that the fact that the government had not spent enough money in the community, that's why that's happening. So that kind of hit me as I'm listening to all of it. So we learned from Chicago that the residents and the Democrats, that no one in Chicago is immoral. The reason they're shooting, stabbing, and setting each other on fire is because the government haven't spent enough money there.
Yeah, so the problem is, I grew up less government.
You know my the family and where I grew up. Mm-hmm. I grew up poor. I grew up around poor people, you know, in a poor neighborhood. None of them ever set anybody on fire.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the final segment of our Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. And, you know, I don't think there's anything left to be said about that. How can you be so blinded?
I think liberalism
is a mental disorder.
It is a mental disorder, and it disorders people mentally. Right.
Yeah.
The people that are subjected to it, you're sort of self-denouncing. Right. Because I'm listening to residents in Chicago saying this. So they're basically saying, because we're poor, we kill people because the government doesn't give us enough money. That's why people are being set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're degrading yourself. Right. Liberalism makes you start describing yourself in. That's terrible. I mean, you're saying we are immoral. You're saying there's no such thing as immorality,
mm-hmm.
right? So then that's just who you are. You're
right.
Murderers. You know, set people on fire. That's not even basic level murder. That's in another league, man. You're setting people on fire.
And this is a mental disorder that we've not just recognized, but has been recognized for a long time. Thomas Paine wrote on March 21st, 1778, a letter to General Sir William Howe. And if you know that history, Howe was a real tyrant, right? And he says, opens up this letter to General Sir William Howe. He says, quote, "To argue with a man who has renounced the use and authority of reason and whose philosophy consists in holding humanity in contempt is like administering medicine to the dead,
yep.
or endeavoring to convert an atheist by scripture." That's what we're dealing with here, right?
No.
We're dealing, as you describe them, they hold humanity in contempt. And they don't believe that anybody is as intelligent as they are. Nobody is as advanced as they are. And everybody who disagrees with them,
well,
reason aside, is contemptible.
And you have to remember victimhood is part of the philosophy. Yeah. So then the people willingly receive this and they obediently become victims. And so
right.
they start claiming that I'm a victim. I mean, you don't even think about what you're saying while you're saying this. Okay,
right.
this guy set somebody on fire because he didn't get his check. Really? That's what you accept?
We need to get him more money so he won't set people on fire is the same as saying it is justified to set somebody on fire because you didn't get your check.
Yeah, no, I mean that's the thing. It's nobody's fault there, right? That's
right.
the victimhood. It's not our fault. It's
right.
you're not giving us enough money. So that's a non sequitur, right?
Right.
What does one have to do with the other? Lack of money. So then any murderer that's poor now has a legitimate defense. He'd go into court and say, well, you know, I don't get a check from the government, or I'm poor, or the government didn't spend enough money in my community, so I decided to shoot this guy. I decided to conduct a drive-by shooting because there's a bridge over here that's in bad condition. How is that a legitimate
potholes.
Argument?
Yeah, so here's the crazy thing.
And how is that not immoral?
Yeah.
When you're making that argument,
okay,
that's
exactly that's what
immoral.
I was going to say. So at least you have consistency, right?
Yeah.
Because they attack us for talking about how the designers of our constitutional republic, the drafters of our constitution, declared from the get-go that you must have a moral people if you're going to have a government with power, any
yeah.
amount of power. And now you have Rahm Emanuel saying, you know, maybe we ought to look at this morality thing, and now they want to crucify him. So
yeah, because he's a Democrat, right? They're reminding him, hey, Rahm Emanuel, you're a member of the party that booed God at their convention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're not allowed to say stuff like that, right?
Right.
You can't say faith, morality, and family. We don't believe in any of those things.
That is, well, and now you know why we're in the state we're in.
Yeah, which is why it makes me sick to my stomach and heartbroken when I see family members and people I know who are registered Democrat.
Right.
That's just like they're mad at Cuomo for saying America was never that great. And there are Democrats mad at him for saying that. Democrats, that's what your party stands for.
Right.
If you are angry at Cuomo, get out of the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Well, you know how I believe. Get out of parties altogether and start basing your decisions on morality and history and truth. Well, thanks so much for joining us with this show. JC and I will be back tomorrow. God bless until then.
In sharing the blessings I received, let me know.